Welcome to the Leadership U podcast.
Welcome back to the Leadership U podcast. I'm Jim, your Leadership U guide, and in this episode, my co-host, Christina, interviewed pastor, singer, songwriter, and jack-of-all-trades, Matt Perkins. Matt and his wife, Carrie, are on staff at the People's Church in Fresno, California, and have recently started a vlog and website called The Family Blend, where they offer insights and resources to families who have experienced loss and are rebuilding their lives. Matt chats with us about leading through loss in his practical and often humorous style. For more information about Matt and Carrie's ministry, visit their website, thefamilyblend.com. Enjoy the show.
Thanks so much for taking time out of your camping trip.
Oh, not a problem.
My first question for you, though, is just that you would share your story with us. So tell us what you went through, and then tell us also a little bit about your ministry so people know where you're coming from as a leader.
So I have been a worship pastor since it's over 25, 26 years. And so through that time, my wife, Mary Beth, and we have two daughters. We spent some time in Denver. That was before we had kids, and that was from 93, 95. Then moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where we served as worship pastors for 12 years. Then Orlando, Florida. And so that's our connection, and serving on the staff there in Orlando. And we're there for a little over 7 years, and then transitioned from there to Fresno, California. That was in 2014, and I think that was a point. I had never made a transition when I was happy doing what I was doing, where I was at. You know, sometimes there are transitions in leadership where you kind of feel an unsettling and going, okay, yeah, I think this is ready for a change. This kind of came out of the blue when I wasn't looking for change. And so I think 2014, when we started looking at that year, really it was the end of 2014 when we moved from Orlando to Fresno in August of 14, December 23rd, just really 4 hours before we had our sound check for our Christmas production in Fresno, we found out that my wife, Mary Beth, was diagnosed with cancer. And we, following the next several days, you know, so we found out here 4 hours later, I had to lead a team of people in a production going through sound checks, and we were both stunned as we sat in the doctor's office, really not knowing anything at that point other than the biopsies were malignant, both in breast as well as lymph node. And so we knew it was serious, but we didn't know the extent of the severity. So we left going home, driving, going, okay, we've got to talk to the girls. You know, how do we tell them when we also know we can't get too deep in this, because we have to call family that knew that we were getting results. And then we had to turn around and put on a happy face and lead a team of 150 people with a choir and orchestra and tech and act like everything's good. You know, there are times when you have to push some things aside in feelings and you just have to power through, but you can't live that way all the time. I think as leaders, we need to know when is it time to push through, and when is the time when you have to pull back and be honest, transparent, and vulnerable. You know, when you're walking into Christmas productions, and you know that's not something you're going to lay out to people. You know, when you start, hey, we're starting soundcheck. Hey, let me tell you something. So we were in a fog. There was a song that I had told our team when we were just picking, you know, songs and what the production was going to consist of, was a song called Fear Not. And I had told them, I said, this song, we can do anything else, but this song I want to have, which is all well and good until I have to sing Fear Not when you just found out that your wife has cancer. And we walked through that time over the next couple days, having more doctor's appointments, finding out every doctor appointment we went to, it was worse. You know, they're like, okay, this is, you know, stage three. You have a rare type of breast cancer that is not super easy to treat. And so we weren't really big on naming a year. Like, okay, this, you know, the word for this year is this, and the word for, you know, so we were coming out of 2014, going into 2015. We went, we took the girls to go have dinner, and we just kind of talked, and we just said, you know, 2014, it was about obedience, of being willing to say yes when you really didn't want to. And where we're at now is 2015, we feel that it's about trust. And trusting through Psalm 112:7 is a scripture that we still have in our home that we is they do not fear bad news, but they confidently trust the Lord to care for them. So we had a lot of times of, you know, conversations, dealing open and honest and raw with our feelings. I did a lot of late night walks around our neighborhood, and just saying, okay, God, we are going to trust you that you will care for us. And so we were going through treatment through 2015. Mary Beth in July, she had very aggressive treatment. July 2nd, she finished chemo. But just health-wise, she wasn't bouncing back like she normally would. You know, there's a pattern too when she would have treatment, you know, okay, you know, day 2 through 5, you have this, and that's kind of the cycle that her body would go through. And she wasn't bouncing back, and we knew that there was some issues. We went and found that she had the cancer spread to her liver, and she was actually prepping for surgery. We weren't expecting that this was, you know, she finished her chemo. We were ready to go on to, you know, tough surgeries, but getting past this. We found out in the doctor's office, he came in, they did some tests and came in, and he said, look, this is not good. The cancer spread. If you don't do treatment, maybe 2 to 4 months, and it was 7 days later that she passed away. At July 29th, 2015, I was in a situation that I never thought I would be in. And not only leading a ministry, but then how do I lead my kids well? And because we can, we get into rhythms, as, you know, with Mary Beth and I got into a rhythm of, hey, when we get into a high season of schedule, we just knew there are things that she would instinctively do, and taking care of the girls, making sure that when they had, you know, things going on in their lives, if it was a rough day at school, there are some emotions that were happening. She knew she would handle a lot of those things. I was locked into what needed to happen through the church. And now I was looking at going, wait a second, I got to manage these things. I've got people that are, you know, they need a leader, and they also have problems. And how do I juggle all of these things. And it's tough. I was committed that my first priority is I need to help my family navigate grief well.
That's good.
I was 14. I'm the youngest of six kids. My dad died suddenly of a heart attack. So I knew telling the girls, hey, I know that God will see us through this because he saw me through it when I was 14. So I was the same age as you. I'm walking through this and I can go back to those times going, yeah, this is tough. But if you don't embrace those hard times, not that you want to hug them and hold on to those and, you know, and just drown in your grief, but there's a difference in embracing something and saying, okay, I'm going to manage this and I'm going to do this. There's a difference between embracing something or trying to hold off, you know, like a football player that's trying to stiff arm somebody that you're trying to keep your reality away from you. There's a difference. And so how you manage that and how you do that, there are a lot of things I'm happy about how some things handed out. There are other things that go on. Yeah, I would manage that conversation with the girls different. And, but we all were in the same boat and just saying, hey guys, okay, I get it. Our tempers are flaring and we're frustrated at each other. Let's stop and let's just go. Can we just all apologize and go see a movie and just forget about some of this stuff? So we did a lot of those things and then walking through it and, saying, I remember one night, a number of months later, I was sitting in our closet. I was going through clothes and I just had to get rid of things. And because I had to have that shift in my head.
Yeah.
And, I remember just sitting down in the closet going, seriously? Like, is this my life? And then looking at it going, the plans that God has for me, those didn't die along with Mary Beth. That God still has plans. Wow. You know, there are people that are listening that you've experienced, maybe it's lost in your ministry. Maybe it's a loss of a ministry position. Maybe it is a family member that passed away. Maybe it's the loss of a marriage or a job that you love so much and it ended up not panning out. I think it's important for you to realize that your plans or the destiny and the future that you have, those things didn't die when whatever that situation that changed. That didn't ruin your life, that God can't use you now, that God can't restore a marriage after divorce, or that maybe God still has some things for you, but how do you manage that loss? And so if you want to hold on and just become grouchy and bitter and just, you know, tough to be around, it's going to be tough for people to come alongside you if you don't embrace some of the issues that you're walking through. I was listening to an Audible book and it was talking about embracing those times when you have issues. And so it's important for all of those things. Managing that, I'm very thankful that I have so many close lifelong friends when we were on staff in Florida, and I will cherish those relationships always. And I wasn't looking to leave, but when we landed in Fresno, I was amazed that God was seeing, he was seeing that those points where there were people that came alongside our family that I had no idea. And I am just blown away. And that even in the craziness of life and my schedule, and it was okay to be me and who I was. And I didn't have to try and pretend and put on this ministry mask and go, oh no, bless God, everything's fine. Everything wasn't. It sucked. Life was difficult. And that was okay, that I didn't have to try and pretend. I remember leading in sound checks, going through rehearsals for the morning. And still there are worship songs that are so overwhelming. I just start, you know, crying in the middle of a sound check. It's okay, because that is my outlet. I love worshiping, and that is, you know, I'm able to get closest to the one who can help me the best.
So what practical advice could you give for leaders who are maybe dealing with grief or dealing with loss, practical tips that can help them lead others through hope? Because like you said earlier, you still had followers watching you. You had people, you're kind of in this glass house, people are paying attention to you because you're the leader. How do you lead from a place of hope when you're not feeling hopeful? And what are some practical tips you can give to our leaders?
I think the biggest thing is you don't always have to have it together. People really aren't expecting you to have it together. You just have to be transparent, be vulnerable, allow people to see that you can have difficult days, but you can bounce back from those. I think it's important. However, whatever you're doing right now, you are modeling for other people. How you walk through grief, you are modeling for your kids when they have difficult times, how they're going to handle it, because they're the ones that are closest to you, whether it's your family, if you're with people in, if it's a ministry area or whatever, you are modeling and putting on display for them how they're going to walk through that when they see those times hit. You know, my kids, God forbid, they're gonna see heartache in their lives, but at some point it will happen. And all I can do right now is model for them what to do later. And that doesn't mean that I get it all right, but at least I can be honest and I can be open. I can be vulnerable and say, you know what? It's okay that you don't have everything together. So I think, you know, be honest with who you are, the emotions, the hurt that you're feeling. Be honest with those, but be intentional that you're not going to stay where you're at. And I think it's always difficult for me to see. I had this conversation with a friend last night, and we're on a trip, and we talked about just how some people get stuck in a rut, and it's like they hit and everything just stops them and paralyzed, and where they can't get past, whether it's grief or and I think in order to do that, talk to somebody, you know, see a counselor. And you know, I'd never gone to a counselor, and man, I'm so glad that I did. Because it gave me tools to process what I was feeling. And there are certain days that, it wasn't life shattering advice. It wasn't anything. It was just, I needed to talk out what I was feeling. And so one, surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you in the process and help you in your healing journey through difficulty. You know, find somebody that's also professional, that you're not just calling, you know, Aunt Betty, that, you know, she is going to tell you what she wants. She's going to project what she wants onto your life. Make sure that you get some people that are also honest with you, going, you know what, you probably need to suck it up today, and you need to deal with this, because, you know, here's what your kids are going through as well. And I think, don't lose a grateful heart and attitude. Just because something happened to you, God is still good. God is still a good God. I am more grateful and thankful today than I think I ever have been in my life. There are days that I just stop and go, God, I don't know how I deserve what you have done in my life. Because you've walked through difficult times. You've seen me through those. And never has it been more true of that scripture that hangs in our home, and that we don't have to fear bad news, but we can confidently trust, not just kind of hope, but we can confidently trust that God will care for us. He will see you through this, and it doesn't have to stop. There are still plans and dreams and hopes that God has for you to prosper you, not to harm you. He's not punishing you for something that you did. Okay, yeah, there are things that we may have some repercussions for. We may reap some things that we sowed that we have to walk through that. But that doesn't mean you have to stay there. God still has plans. God didn't just wipe his hands with you and say, oh, you didn't respond the way I wanted you to, and now you find yourself, you're out of leadership for a season, or you're dealing with this. God still has plans to prosper you, still has plans not to harm you, but for a hope and a future. That means he's not done. What he has for you today doesn't mean you have to stay there unless you choose to. Unless you choose to say, I'm not going to move forward. I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't want to grow. I don't want to expand. I don't want to deal with my grief. I want to hold on to it. Let it go and start moving forward. You can still grieve, but we don't have to stay there.
That's so good. That's so good. Thank you. I just have one question. I know you're away at a camp, so I don't want to take much of your time here. I just have one last question. We are asking all the leaders who come on the podcast, what's something that you've been consistent with? The Bible says that if you're faithful in the little things, God will bless you and move you into areas of greater things. And as a leader, what have you been consistent with for a long time that kind of led you into this season of leadership and growth and influence over other people?
Well, I think for me, worship has always been huge. That, yes, I am a worship pastor, but I love times that I take, it may be in the car that I go on a drive or I put on some music. I can be around people all the time, but I have to have some time by myself where nothing else is going on. And letting God speak to me during times of worship, it doesn't mean it's singing, but having something on. There are playlists we had when we were walking through her treatment, and there are songs of peace and healing and hope. And then we also have other playlists that I kept after she passed. There are playlists that I have, and it's funny how I can go and see what God was doing in my life and where I was at mentally. Wow. Walking back through those playlists going, oh, wow. It's kind of like journaling through music. I don't know. I don't know that that's a term or anything like that, but that's kind of where I've been, of trying to open up, be honest, and also let some of those things. So I would say that in keeping some different playlists, some worship times and some personal times, having those and be intentional about those, and then being intentional about being real and not trying to cover up. You know, we can hide stuff for a little while that, oh yeah, I'm doing fine, everything's good. And then having people in your life that will look and see past that and go, no, really, how's it going? And so being surrounded by people, being honest and open and vulnerable, but also I would say music. So there's more than one thing that I gave you, but you can edit it out however you want.
No, I love it. Those are both good. We'll let you do two for yours.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership You podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeru.org.